Well, good morning. Isn't it cool to see little people up here singing? Isn't it cool to hear how God uses people with various talents and treasures and time and creativity to come together to put on a VBS so that the grace of God could be spoken into the lives of little children? Isn't that awesome? I praise God for all those who volunteered. And it's just a reminder to me again of something we've been talking about for quite some time now. You know, we consistently have been trying to talk to you about taking grace beyond the walls. It's our way, it's kind of a shorthand way for us to remind us that we are saved for a purpose. We're not saved for our own for our own purposes. We're saved for the purposes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came and walked among men that they may see God's redemptive purpose for their lives, that God could bring about the redemption of sinners. And so when we talk about grace beyond the walls, we're talking about not only taking the grace of God outside of this building, that we as a community live for a greater purpose than to just take care of ourselves. We want the gospel of Jesus Christ to go outside and be a light to all. But taking grace beyond the walls is also about taking that step of taking grace beyond the walls of our own stuff, our own lives, and reaching into the lives of others on an individual basis to be reminded, so we could remind them that they are beloved of God, and that we would remember that we have been saved for the purpose of being ambassadors for the gospel of Jesus Christ, both corporately as a community and as individuals. Now, one of the ways that we celebrate taking grace beyond the walls is by reminding ourselves that there are people who are not only ministering in their community, but who have decided to go outside of that community and go into all the world. And these are our cross-cultural missionaries. Grace has a long history of supporting missionaries that have taken grace beyond the walls and go out. And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have the opportunity to hear from two of those missionaries. This morning, we're going to hear from Connie Carrilla. Now, Connie Carrilla is serving with the Haitian-American Friendship Foundation. And she has been a part of Grace Church since the early 80s. And she actually went on the mission field. She was called from this church to go into the missions field. I think it was 1984, 85, Connie? 1985. And she has been serving faithfully with a half ever since. And when she comes into town, when any of our missionaries come into town, we want to make it a part of what we do to talk to them, to hear what God is doing in their lives, that they can report out to us how they see God taking grace beyond the walls in their own lives and through their ministries. So this morning, I want to welcome Connie Carrilla back from the field to join her church family here, the Sending Church, so we can have a conversation. Connie, would you come up, please? Will you welcome her?
It's good to see you again.
Good to be
please.
Here.
Thank you. I left you some water. I didn't get to
Thanks.
The coffee.
That's fine. Water's good.
Water's okay?
Water's good.
All right. Can you all hear her? Fantastic.
Great.
Praise God. It's all working.
Woohoo! Thanks, tech guys.
So why don't we do this? Why don't we start with a word of prayer, and then we'll have a conversation.
That works.
Outstanding. Mm-hmm. Will you bow your heads and join your hearts with me? Oh, Father God, I'm thankful for this moment. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for the way that you work in individuals. I'm thankful for the way that you work through a church family. I'm thankful for the work that you've been doing in Connie and the work you've been doing in HAF for many years. And Father, now we pray that you would be present in this place, that your spirit would be evident in this moment, that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart would be pleasing to you, and that we would be able to say at the end of this conversation that it seemed right to us in the Holy Spirit to have spoken on the things we have spoken on. We entrust ourselves to you, and we pray especially that today if someone in this conversation, someone hears something that sparks in them a desire to know Jesus more, or sparks in them a conviction that, you know what, they haven't been following him as they should, or works in whatever way you've got planned to work, I pray, Father God, that we will take note of your work, and that whoever it is that is convicted or uplifted or hears you speak will respond to that call. and give you the praise and the glory and the honor you so richly deserve. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our God.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Connie, it's been, even though you and I talked earlier this week, it's been a while since you've been at Grace. And I'm suspecting there's a lot of folks who really haven't had the opportunity to either meet you or hear a little bit of your story. So I'm wondering if you would just give us kind of a, talk us through a little bit about how you came to HAF and what you're doing with HAF right now.
Sure.
Thanks.
I first felt called to the mission field when I was still in college. And God did not see fit to send me straight from college to the mission field. He instead sent me to the Hudson Valley. So I moved here in January or February, end of January of 83. And did a little searching around and ended up at Grace Church. And the first, I think it was the first April I was here, which would have probably been 84, a missionary came and spoke, and I ended up volunteering to go work in Papua New Guinea with that missionary. Long story short, got more information that that was not going to be the best idea. So that I this church supported me and kept me for the next 5.5 months until I found the posting in Haiti. You guys commissioned me, I want to say it was the end of 85, maybe right after my training, or it might have been early 86 after I finished my training in the D.C. area. And then the day the Shuttle Challenger blew up was my first day going to Haiti, 1986. I was there for the ousting of Jean-Claude Duvalier, and I was there until 2011. I would spend the whole school year there teaching and doing various other tasks. I originally went to teach animal science because that was my background. Ended up teaching English and remedial science, learning skills, home ec, translating for lots of people. I was on the management team. Ended up running an eyeglass clinic, including testing people for glaucoma. You have to do whatever you have to do when you're on the mission field. So I ended up doing a lot of stuff. I also ended up doing the field bookkeeping. So in 2011, I came back to the States and was planning on doing my normal summer traveling and got as far as my home in central Pennsylvania and came down with hepatitis A. No clue where I picked it up, but it took me 9 months to get my liver back in order. And then it took another year for the doctors to determine that my continued fatigue and concentration issues were no longer due to the hepatitis. So we started trying to figure that out, and it's been a few years trying to figure that out, and I've now been diagnosed with mild sleep apnea. They wouldn't normally treat for it, but we're going to try a CPAP and see if that helps. So in the meantime, I was sitting in State College, and my various colleagues who were doing the U.S. administration were some by ones and twos going off and retiring and doing other things. And so I said, well, I'm just sitting here, I can do that. Well, I'm just sitting here, I can do that. Well, I'm just sitting here, I can do that. So now the post office is in State College and the banking is in State College and I pick up the mail and deposit the checks and pay the bills and I've shepherded our newest missionaries through their support raising and getting to Haiti and have shepherded another person who's being seconded to us from Christian Veterinary Mission, who's in the process of fundraising now. And so if you need to call the HAF office, you get me.
You get you.
Yeah.
So you, it sounds like you have done a real mosaic of things with HAF.
Yes.
And so it sounds like HAF is doing a variety of things. I'm kind of wondering, how is it through that mosaic of different activities and the like that HAF is ministering the gospel, the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because, you know, sometimes we get doing so many different program stuff that the word of God or the gospel message takes a second place. And I'm wondering, so how is HAF ministering?
Yeah, our mission statement, and I don't have it all memorized, but the gist of it is that we are a group of Haitian and American friends working together to make disciples of Christ through a variety of educational programs and ministries of compassion. So our variety of educational opportunity, programs. We have a secondary school, grades 7 through 13. And in Haiti, we are completely, completely free to share the gospel in the classroom.
In the secondary school.
In the secondary situation. School. Yeah. And we do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
The kids have devotions first thing in the morning. They get a week of Bible class, or they get an hour of Bible class every week. We are totally free to, you know, when the kids would ask me in science, you know, why is this way? It's like, well, you know, science doesn't answer the whys for the most part. And I was able to bring in the fact that, well, because God made it and God created it and we have a great God. The kids would ask me questions like, the old folks say that when a star falls out of the sky, it means somebody dies. And so, you know, I was able to talk about that and bring Christ into the conversation. We're totally free to do that. Our other educational programs, we have Young Leaders for God class, where we take young people and we teach them the biblical standard of servant leadership. They do service projects, and then they go back to their homes and they become leaders in their churches, in their communities, in their families. We have a godly woman class, which is like a home ec class, loosely based on the Proverbs 31 woman. We don't tell them to go do all that. We just say that this is the portrait of the godly woman, and she's a good example for us. And we study other godly women in Scripture. We teach them how to do solar cooking. We teach them how to bake. We teach them how to sew. We teach them how to do embroidery. And they just get a little taste of, like, basket making and soap making and solar cooking and all kinds of different things that they can try out. And if they enjoy it, they can learn to do it a little better and maybe bring some income into the home. But the primary focus is to teach them how to have a home set apart for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We have an agricultural program. It's financial and agricultural programs for farmer groups is the name of the program. And that's the program that the kids raised 7 goats worth of money for us. And boy, that was a real blessing, and I thank you all for helping them get there. And that, we have a gentleman who is like an ag extension agent. And he teaches farmer groups. There are these groups of farmers in different communities surrounding us that form themselves into like little cooperatives. And they help each other on each other's farms. And they maybe have a piece of land that they own cooperatively that they work together. And so a family in a farmer group can be given a goat. And their responsibility with that goat is they return to the program 2 female kids that goat bears, which are then given to another family in their group. When every family in that group has received goats, then the next kids get given to other groups. And so the people participate in the giving as well as the receiving.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 7 new goats to give. A goat costs $50, and we ask for $100 for the goats because the other $100 goes towards helping Millie East with his program of teaching them animal husbandry, teaching them how to take care of their soil, and teaching them how to grow different kinds of crops that they might not have thought of, or teaching them how to grow crops in a better way. Also helps to, on our farm, we grow seedlings, and we grow trees for budwood so that we can give out grafted tree, young trees to be planted. We also multiply seeds that have proven to do well in the area, and we distribute seeds to these farmers' groups. And where the gospel goes in there is that Millie East not only teaches them how to care for their land and care for their animals, he also teaches them how to do business as a Christian, how to care for their animals as Scripture teaches us to do that, how to steward the land as God has given us stewardship of the land. And every meeting starts with song and prayer and usually a little devotion. We also have a project, Healthy Family, where we have a gentleman, Claude, who trains people from, I think it's about 15 different communities. And there's a pair of people from each community, and they learn health and sanitation and nutrition and the signs of malnutrition and some basic first aid. And then they go back to their communities. They also learn community health evangelism, so how to go door-to-door as they're helping people with their needs, how to share the gospel through that. And they go back to their home communities, and then they train different people each year in how to do those same things, how to recognize malnutrition, how to do basic first aid, mm-hmm. how to share the gospel from door-to-door.
Can you tell us a little bit? I'm always fascinated about the kind of the nature of the place where God is planted, half.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, what would you say the state of the spiritual life is like mm-hmm. in Haiti? And why does half choose this particular method of getting the gospel
right.
out?
Where we're located, well, Dave, can I have or somebody in the tech room, can I have the first picture, maybe? Well, some of you may... Most of you may know where Haiti is, many of you may not. So we have, here's Miami in Florida, and Cuba is here, and here's the Dominican Republic, and Haiti is this little part of the second largest island in the Caribbean, which is Hispaniola. If you go in a little closer on Haiti, the capital is, the capital is Port-au-Prince, second largest town is Cape Haitien, and we're up here in the middle. If you keep your eyes on Petite Rivière de l'Artabonite there.
Could you say that one more time?
Petite Rivière de l'Artabonite.
Okay. Everybody repeat that back.
Well, all together.
I just want to make sure you caught it.
So here's Petite Rivière again, and we are here in Bohoc. We spell it with an H, Bohoc, but we're in the very southern portion of the Department of the North and in what is known as the Central Plateau. The Central Plateau runs along in through here, and it continues on into the Dominican Republic. In the Dominican Republic, it's a very fertile valley. It's the breadbasket of the Dominican. In our area, it's pretty arid and very, very hilly, even though it's the plateau. It's a lot flatter in the Dominican, and people are really struggling. So you asked about the spiritual climate.
Yeah.
When Haiti was the French colony, it wasn't even all of what is Haiti now. It was kind of shaped, the border was kind of shaped like that. So this part, including where we are, was all officially part of the Spanish colony. And our people are descended from the escaped slaves from both the Spanish colony and the French colony, because the Spanish were never really up where we are. They're very independent. They don't do things the way the rest of the country does. And they're oftentimes dismayed by the violence in other parts of the country, as we are. But by the same token, if they don't like somebody, they'll do their darndest to get rid of them. They may not do it by violence. They may just make it really unbearable to be there so that they want to leave. But anybody that they love or they see has their best at heart, they'll hang on to and won't let go. So HAF was founded in this area because the woman who founded our work, she and her husband came to Haiti in 1944. And they were originally up on the North Coast. But Reuben, Lila's husband, had been praying for the interior of Haiti for many, many years, and he wanted to go and preach Christ where Christ had never been named. And our area was known, the Catholic Church wasn't there, there were no missionaries there. Our area was known that if you went there and you weren't from there, you were killed, because they were the escaped slaves. They told their kids and their kids' kids, anybody comes up here, they're going to take you back to slavery, so kill first and figure out who they are later. Well, Reuben and Lila forfeited their support because their mission wouldn't send them to the plateau, and they moved to the plateau. And what they found, very long story short, what they found was 300 people who had come to a knowledge of the person they called the Great One 12 years before Reuben and Lila arrived. They were already arranged in 8 little groups. They already had a leadership, and they were hungry for the Word of God. And when they finally baptized all of these people, they baptized those who could show that they had had a life-changing experience with the Great One, that they had met Christ and he had changed their lives to the point where they were willing to burn their house down, if necessary, to do away with anything that had to do with voodoo. Because when they build the houses, they put the voodoo fetishes right in the fabric of the house. So that legacy of voodoo still is there. Those 300 people have become, probably at this point, more than 300 churches scattered throughout the central part of Haiti. And we still work with some of those churches. The legacy of voodoo is still strong because it's a worldview that was brought by the slaves from Africa. It's a total way of looking at the world and looking at life, and it's a religion of fear. And we've had fellow deacons in the same church, one refuse to step into a job vacated by the other because he was afraid his fellow deacon would kill him because, oh, if I take his job, he'll think I wanted it all along and I'm the one who made him lose it. Well, the guy didn't lose his job. He gave it up because he got a better job. We had to get deacon number one to tell deacon number two that he wanted him to take his job for him to take the job. So that legacy is still there, and that's why we continue to work in that area, is to counteract that legacy. The reason Lila founded our organization after her husband died was because she wanted to train young people in reading comprehension skills and analysis skills so that they could rightly handle the Word of God and be able to read Scripture, understand what they're reading, and apply it to their lives. And so that's... We're using the methods we're using because, A, Lila was a teacher, and she was invited back into Haiti by the Haitian government to teach and to start a secondary school. But then the non-formal programs like the Godly Woman class and the Young Leaders for God, that gives us a reach into another group of the section of the population other than just the teenagers. So
it sounds like it the opportunities half has to share the gospel are about building webs of community,
mm-hmm.
and building. You said earlier that that the Haitian people, at least in the plateau, seem to respond very well. If they believe you're there to
yep.
support and help them,
yes.
then they are supportive back.
That's right.
And so it sounds like half has decided we're going to use as much as we can to bring to the table something of value
That's
that
right.
they can grab hold of, and that allows us the opportunity to have the relational equity that
right.
allows us to share the gospel.
Exactly.
You know, is it fair to say, it sounds like God was working, he was working in this group of, I think you said 300
mm-hmm.
people.
Right.
God was already there,
mm-hmm.
and then he had laid it on the heart of Reuben
mm-hmm.
that they should leave the area they were mm-hmm. and come to that place.
Mm-hmm.
And it fascinates me because I think God is still doing that today. It
yes.
amazes me. Sometimes I think we think that our obedience is done in a vacuum. You know, that our living the gospel, our sharing the
yeah.
gospel, our willingness to get beyond ourselves is somehow done just on our own. And yet, God is already preparing the soil. God
That's
is
right.
God, we have no idea how God has already been at work there. So when we reach out beyond ourselves, when we reach out beyond the walls of ourselves,
mm-hmm.
we can do so with the assurance knowing that we're not doing that on our own.
That's right.
We're doing that because God is already at work. We're participating
right.
in what he's already doing. And
yeah.
I think what a great example to see that in Reuben, who comes in and then mm-hmm. to watch God take that and start to build that out.
Right. Yeah, and when I was here in 83, 84, 85, yeah, I was feeling called. Yeah, I was working towards going to the mission field. And yeah, I thought I was going to Papua New Guinea. Well, God said, no, you're not. But when I decided not to go to Papua New Guinea and started looking for another place to go, the position at HAF didn't even exist yet. It wasn't even there yet. And it was a good 5.5 months of me searching and praying and trying to figure out where to go before I actually found out mm-hmm. about the position. And there it was. So then when I went, I'm single. I have no children. As far as Haitians are concerned, what is wrong with this chick? She's 26 years old. She's not married. She doesn't have kids. There's something got to be wrong with her. But yet the longer I stayed mm-hmm. and the more I worked with them and with their children, they started to see, hey, this is a strong woman. She has given up, in their eyes. She has given up the chance at a husband. She has given up the chance at children. She has given up a chance to live in a comfortable society and have a good job and make a lot of money to come and serve our kids. And all of a sudden, I was the best thing since sliced bread, you know. So, but you know, you talk here about taking grace outside the walls, and there are cultural differences. I mean, I lived in Haiti for 25 and a half years, but I still don't totally understand the culture. I know a little bit about voodoo, but I still don't understand all of the ways it has its tentacles wrapped around even their faith in Christ. And so there are times when the way we show the gospel, the way we share the gospel, is by extending the grace that we've been given. I mean, God has had to extend me so much grace, let me tell you. And my colleagues in Haiti and the Haitians have had to extend me so much grace. And by showing that same grace to them, that just opens up all kinds of doors. We've had some staff issues over the years where, you know, we've set up contracts. We thought we all agreed on things, and then all of a sudden, a portion of the staff is all bent out of shape and not reacting about something in a very good way. And we've tried to be very forceful and stand firm in the past to try and get them to toe the line and all that, and that's gone over like a lead balloon. But more recently, we felt that we really need to show forth that grace and to maybe not give on the demands that they've unreasonably made. But instead of being tough and firm, be soft and loving and understanding and hearing their side and saying, we know and we can do this, but we can't do that. But just loving them through it and showing that grace, and it has changed the environment completely and has opened things up to be able to share the gospel.
Seems like in times, you know, sometimes we're so fearful of reaching beyond because we don't know the totality of another person's culture or the way they look at life, and sometimes it keeps us from sharing the gospel and being willing to wade into the lives. What I think I hear you say, and I think I've heard you reiterate this even in our private conversations, was in the end, what God used and continues to use is that heart that desires to know Him. You talked about the scripture where it says, you know, if delight in the Lord. Yeah. You know, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Right. And as you started talking about that, you realized it's not that He just gives you whatever you want. It's that the more you delight in Him, the more you want what He wants. Right. The more you revel in knowing Him in His fullness, and He begins to make that full in your life. And
He puts those desires, His desires, in your heart.
He works His desires in your heart. And what I've heard you say pretty consistently is it started with this burden and this love to want to serve Him. Mm-hmm. Whether it was in Papua New Guinea or it was someplace else. And when Papua New Guinea shut, you still had that desire. I want to serve God. I want to serve Him. I want to take that grace that He gave me and I want to share it with others. And that ended up opening the door for you to be in Haiti. And when you were in Haiti, then you've had to deal with all of these other interferences, none of which actually, in the end, are all that relevant. What's relevant is you continue to surrender yourself to His will and His purposes and open yourself to allow Him to work in you and your brokenness and all the stuff you bring to the table to continue to bring the gospel message out. That's just a wondrous thing that God can use such broken people. You know, people, so I'm often struck by how imperfect we are and how He uses our imperfections to bring Him glory. And so glad for the work you're doing in half. We're coming to the end of our conversation. I'm wondering if you have any last word you want to share with this fellowship of believers.
Yeah, I want to say a very big thank you to you guys. You have supported me for 33 years. Thank you so much. I could not be the office for half. I could not have spent 25 and a half years in Haiti. I could not do the work that I'm doing for half now if it were not for folks like you who have continued to faithfully, generously support me through it. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart for those years. You haven't heard from me as much as I should have kept in touch, but you have not often been far from my thoughts or my heart, and never out of my gratitude. Mm-hmm. So thank you all so much. And thank you especially for this week of VBS and having me be here, and for helping those kids get those seven goats on the boat and off the island.
Seven goats on the boat.
Seven
like
goats
that.
On the boat.
I
know.
Need a shirt that says that. Seven goats on the boat.
That's right. That's
pretty cool. So. For those of you who are new to our fellowship, recognizing that every time you give to the offering, a certain percentage of your offering goes to missions. And so you're giving to Connie, whether you're giving to Connie directly or you are giving through the regular offering, you are giving it to that when you share of your resource. And that makes you part and parcel of what Connie is doing in Haiti. And we
Absolutely.
Praise God. We praise God for that. Yeah. So let me offer a quick word of prayer, and we'll close our time together. Father God, thank you for Connie. Thank you for the ministry you've been doing and have continued to do in Haiti. Father, we know that there are people in Haiti who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that the Haitian people are beloved by you. And so we pray, Father God, that you would continue to work through the people at HAF and Connie and all those who minister in the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray that you will break the darkness, the spiritual darkness of those who do not know you. And we pray that they will come into the light, that they will know that you are their Lord and Savior, and they will know the promise of eternal life. And we'll rejoice along with the angels in heaven that you have brought yet another sinner into your presence. Oh, Father God, not by our will, but by your
That's
will.
Right.
Not by our work, but by your work, says the Lord.
That's right.
So I entrust Connie to you. We thank you for her. And may you continue to bless and keep her. May you make your face to shine upon her and be gracious to her and all those who work at HAF. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Peace. Yeah.